The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Seeing the crowds, Jesus went up on the mountain. When he had sat down, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so men persecuted the prophets who were before you. The Gospel of the Lord.
Alleluia, 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 Alleluia.
Brothers and sisters, it's a great joy to be here with you. Father MacDonald has spoken often about you, and I'm happy to see why he loves you so much. Today, we celebrate the great triumph of the mother we love so much. She was crowned by her son, Queen of Heaven and Earth. It's today where she got that crown of 12 stars. It's today where the Queen stands at the right of the King, arrayed in gold of Ophir. It's today we celebrate when her eyes saw the King in all his beauty. It's today in which she, who was so lowly, was lifted up to be set in the company of all the princes of the church. But the greatest way we can celebrate Our Lady today is by allowing her to do what she's in heaven continually doing. Heaven is a continuous wedding feast. And she's acting at that nuptial the same way that she behaved in Cana, pulling her beloved son aside and trying to serve us and help us before we, like that couple or even the mother or the bride, knew that they had an issue in Cana. The Second Vatican Council, in the 8th chapter of Lumen Gentium, the document on the dogmatic constitution on the church, said that Mary was assumed into heaven and crowned so that she could even more fully enter into the life of her son. Because he had ascended, it was necessary that she be assumed. Because he is reigning, continuing to reign through his loving, she is going to share in that ministry too. Not sure if anyone has ever had a chance to go to Florence, Italy, but there in the Monastery of San Marco, the great Beato Angelico, Blessed Fra Angelico, has painted all of the cells there. What's always been noted by the great art historians is his very famous scene of the Annunciation, which is on holy cards and in churches all across the globe. When you compare that to the coronation that he painted of Our Lady, she is in exactly the same posture that sometimes people get the two confused. The humility that the handmaid of the Lord showed at the Annunciation when the Archangel Gabriel came to her and announced that she would be the mother of God's Son. the humility that she had when she said her great fiat is the same humility when she knelt before her son in prayerful, reverential adoration as the Archangel Gabriel and all the angels were surrounding her as he would fulfill that vocation that she had always lived to incorporate herself totally into the mission of her son. Blessed John Paul II, when he wrote 26 years ago, his beautiful, or 25 years ago, his beautiful apostolic exhortation on Mary, the Mother of the Redeemer, said that precisely in heaven, she's continuing her work. And for her, like her son, to reign as queen is to serve. That she never ceases serving us from heaven. What's her service? It's to help us to incorporate ourselves totally to her son, just as she shows us by faith. John Paul II, throughout Redemptoris Mater, said that the secret to understand Mary's life is to know that it was the fully Christian life. And our vocation begins in Christ. That it's Jesus who fully reveals us to ourselves and makes our supreme calling to heaven clear, supreme calling to be saints. And then a little bit later, Gaudium et Spes 24 says, we will not fully find who we are unless we imitate the Lord Jesus in unselfishly giving ourselves over to others. And that's what Mary shows us par excellence, that she shows us that to reign is to serve in the image of him who abased himself, taking on our nature, so that he would not be served, but serve, give his life as a ransom for all. So how does Mary want us to honor her today? How would her son want us to honor her today? It would be by allowing her permission to serve us and help us to become more like her son. Today's gospel shows us the face of Jesus Christ, shows us the face of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and shows us the mirror that the Lord wants us to become. I was very happy when I got the readings for today because I've never had a chance to ponder Mary and the Beatitudes. But it doesn't take a lot to see how she enfleshed each of these Beatitudes, just like she enfleshed the Word with a capital W. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Mary's true kingdom was God, which was why she was able to give her whole life for that pearl of great price. She, who with St. Joseph was so poor that they had to offer two turtle doves, was the richest human being who has ever lived, with the only wealth that can pass through the eye of the needle. Blessed are those who mourn. We see that no one mourned like Mary, standing courageously at the foot of the cross with her incredible sensitivity to all that sin does. And we always turn to her. We ask her to help enrich us with those true riches. But we also, in that most famous prayer of all, we say to Mary as our queen, the Salve Regina. Later on, we say, mourning and weeping in this valley of tears. We turn to her to teach us how to mourn properly, especially for those who distance themselves from her son and the salvation he brings. Blessed are the meek. Mary was the one who throughout Jesus' hidden life learned up close from him who said, learn from me, for I'm meek and humble of heart. She had not only that gentleness, but she had that strength. When you look at the Greek word for meekness, it's the same word that we would use for a martial arts expert, or a well-trained athlete, or a very docile horse. Someone who has got such great self-mastery that at a little tap, they're able to behave in a way that most people who don't have that self-mastery would only dream about. Because she had that self-mastery through virtue and through grace, she's able to teach us how to respond to the Lord in a similar way. learning from her son how not to break a bent reed, but tenderly, maternally in a sense, to bring people toward goodness. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for holiness. Mary was the one in her own Magnificat, gave her own autobiographical reflection when she said, "He has filled the hungry with good things, but the rich he has sent away empty." Mary had that great hunger, that incredible desire to be right with God, to be holy. She was satisfied, and she, with her great maternal care for us, wants to stoke in us that holy hunger and that infinite thirst of Christ for our souls and the souls of others from the cross. Blessed are the merciful. She is, as we say, it's immediately after those words, Salve Regina. We call her Mater Misericordiae, Mother of Mercy. She shows us how to receive the Lord's mercy, which she received from the first moment of her conception in the womb, how to live in that merciful love, and then how to share that mercy. Blessed are the pure of heart. Her heart is truly immaculate. She prays for us that we might have that same gift through the work of her Son in the sacraments, so that we might see Him not just, as we say through the words of the prophet Isaiah, see Him in all His beauty in heaven, but see Him under the disguise of bread and wine here. See Him in the distressing disguise of the poor. See Him in others. See Him in the day-to-day of earthly life, so that we might have a heart like hers that beats in unison with the Sacred Heart of her Son. Blessed are the peacemakers. She was one who always shared in the mission of her Son, the Prince of Peace. She was one who totally united herself with that. It was a very humble union. Mary continually prays for that peace. At the end of the Litany of Loreto, the last title, in a sense the exclamation point on that prayer of the Church, is Regina Pacis, Queen of Peace. We turn to her to ask first for the peace for which we long most, which is peace between God and us through the forgiveness of sins, which then is meant to overflow from within us to those with whom we live, to our neighborhoods, eventually to radiate throughout the entire world. Whenever you go to Santa Maria Maggiore in Rome, you've got on that left aisle that statue of Regina Pacis, put there by Pope Benedict XV. She's got her son in her arms, but she's raising up her hand during World War I, essentially saying, stop. When you look at her intercessions, as she's come by God's permission down on earth, especially in Fatima, she described exactly the path to peace in the world, and it's a shocking path. We had been given 1,000 guesses, most of us would never have come up what she revealed to the three little Pastorinos, that the solution to all that ails the world, atheistic communism, the persecution against the Church, hell, is consecration to her Immaculate Heart, to that pure heart, which the future Pope Benedict said in 2000 is stronger than all the bombs and hijacked airplanes that the world and hatred would ever be able to muster. She wants us to be able to raise our hands in prayer with her, say stop to everything that brings about that type of division that leads to peace. Today we pray in a special way for those in Syria and Egypt. Blessed are those who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness. Mary's heart was that locus of the deep feeling of persecution. At the second Annunciation, she heard Simeon say to her that her own heart would be pierced and that her son would be the cause for the ruin and the resurrection of so many. She totally shared in his life. She suffered as he suffered, as the Nazarenes tried to murder him by throwing him off the precipice on which Nazareth had been made. As she heard that cacophony coming from Pontius Pilate's praetorium, "Give us Barabbas, crucify Jesus." She was there as the thieves, as the passers-by, as the Roman soldiers mocked Jesus on Calvary. She entered fully into that persecution. She also entered into the prize. We've seen that likewise over the course of time, she herself has been reviled. So many people have mocked her because they haven't seen the relationship with Mary and the church, how Mary continually leads us to Christ, provided, as Blessed John Paul II said, we relive her mystery in Christ. That we Catholics never engage in Mariolatry, but we, together with Jesus, keep the fourth commandment as we honor the mother he gave us as his last will and testament from the cross. And like St. John, take her into our home. Take her to that interior home that the Lord constantly calls us to ask. She lived the Beatitudes in union with her Son. Now she's praying that we will receive and respond to all the graces her Son won for us, so that we too might become living, walking, breathing commentaries of the Beatitudes in the midst of the world. As we come forward today, Mary, who always stands at the side of her Son, arrayed in gold, crowned with stars, points him out to us and says what she said in Cana, "Do whatever he tells you." And Jesus calls us to live these Beatitudes. Through her intercession, may we follow her down this beatific path so that we might experience the full joy when we see her crowned and her Son crowns us by his grace with an imperishable wreath. Salve Regina, ora pro nobis.